We were talking about how do we want to end the week in our interviews, and we decided we want to end it on a high point, and logic brought us right to Lori Ellis. She is general manager of Consume in both Carbondale and we'll call it Marion, but at the Williamson County Airport location to be more specific. Lori, it's good to talk to you again. I haven't talked to you since January. How have you been?
Oh, I've been good. Glad to talk to you.
Well, you know, January, we were doing a lot of speculating about recreational marijuana sales, and then the first half of the year, were you surprised? Were you surprised about the amount of tax revenue and revenue that marijuana generated in the state of Illinois in its first 6 months of adult consumption laws?
I don't know if I was really surprised by it. I mean, I think we kind of anticipated the demand for it out there, but then once January 1 hit and we actually saw the traffic and both in-state and out-of-state, it just kind of made it, it was kind of surreal because they're just, it kind of came to light, kind of what we were expecting there. So,
$52 million in tax revenue. That's taxes for the state of Illinois in 6 months. And a total of $239 million spent on marijuana in the state. You just talked about your customers for out of state. I mean, I'm curious now, who are your customers? Who's the average person? Who's the exceptional person? And where do they come from?
You know, we're really seeing, I mean, we've seen a big trend here at Marion. You know, it's, I would say it's 50-50 out of state and in state.
No kidding, 50-50?
We really couldn't gauge.
50-50?
You know, before we opened.
That 50-50 is a big number to me.
It is. It's a very big number. And I think part of the reason for that is obviously down in the southern part of the state, the dispensaries are more spread out. So, you know, there's not as many, like in Chicago, you know, within a 5 mile span, you might have two or three dispensaries, where down here, you know, you got to drive 30 or 40 minutes to get to another dispensary. Also, you know, we're bordering on several states. So, I think that's where a lot of that out-of-state traffic comes from. And a lot of your southern traffic, you know, most of our southern states do not have any type of cannabis program yet. So we're the closest one.
So they pop up 57. Because I mean, I think about this and from traffic flow. I know the Harrisburg location there, I was told, around $2 million in sales. All right. So that's, I think of as Kentucky Route 13 across the bridge at Shawneetown. And when I think about your Marion location, I think of Kentucky and people popping on 57 and coming up and turning right and turning left and going to the place off 57.
Right. You know, everybody uses the internet so much now on Google, and obviously with our location right off of 57, that's fared really well for us for out-of-state traffic.
You know, when it comes to this money, we've seen, and it's interesting because I've even talked to the comptroller about this, the money generated from these programs have been turned around, and I think, especially when you look at the speed in which state government works, over a relatively short period of time, money has been turned around and used in the community. I know when I did speak to the comptroller specifically, it was programs that were supported by pharmacies and drugs during the lockdown. What do you think? I mean, when it comes to marijuana and its revenues, it's kind of been smeared around on a lot of different subjects in the state of Illinois, depending on where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I learned, I think this was back in April, but I know, you know, I learned that at least, you know, $1 million had kind of been funneled back into, like you said, the pharmaceutical locations down here in the southern part of the state, which is really great. Because sometimes, you know, all that tax revenue, I mean, we know, you know, there's promises made, and where's that tax money going to go? And then, you know, do we ever really know where it goes? Sometimes it's hard to find that information out for the public, you know. And so I think it's great to hear whenever we know where some of that is going and that it's doing some good in our community.
I noted that one city council to our north is using it for reparations.
Oh, okay.
And then when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, you know, because they had talked about, you know, minority ownership, which we've not seen come to fruition, but I think some of this is because of holdups in the permitting process. You're no stranger to that.
It really is. You know, to that note, on the social equity portion, you know, I think a lot of people are under the misunderstanding that, you know, we really haven't seen that come to fruition yet. But honestly, there's, you know, all of these licenses that are being awarded now are all tied to a medical dispensary. You know, we can all have We can all have a medical dispensary, a same site recreational, and then we can open up a second site recreational, which is what we did in Carbondale. But really, those social equity programs come into play when they award the additional 75 adult use licenses, and that those have definitely been pushed back with COVID. So. Right.
Because
I think we'll start to see more of that.
Yeah, because there were some issues when it comes to a site in Carbondale, a growth site, you know, and they're saying, well, we're waiting,
right.
We've got the money, we're still paying for all the stuff, and you're not getting us a permit. We need to move forward. We can't afford to stay on a string. You know, one thing that a lot of people, and on a regular basis, without being prompted, text me on my American Monument Studio text line and question the essential designation for marijuana. How do you respond to that?
You know, when we first, go back to March 13th, 14th, whenever we, out of the blue we kind of knew it was coming, but obviously the governor made that call to actually go into lockdown. And, you know, for that first couple days, we weren't sure, we were hoping to continue to do medical, and we didn't really know where recreational would fall into that. And then, I think a lot of people were surprised whenever the recreational sales continued and were considered essential. And I can tell you from our customer base here on the recreational side, we have a lot of people buy recreationally that are using it medicinally. Either they're from out of state and they don't have a program, or they're not ready to jump into the program on the medical side in Illinois, because that's the process to get your medical card. And, we have a lot of people using it for medicinal value. And I agree with the fact that it is essential for many people.
You know, when you think about this, it's tough getting the statistics on suicide. And the reason why I mention this, suicide/overdoses, because some people have and I've noticed a real tendency to put this in the back seat, as marijuana as a replacement drug to get you off synthetic opioids. And when we see the new numbers, 2019, they were just released without COVID-19. That's not part of this discussion. Drug overdoses in the nation is 76,000, almost 76,000. 36,800, if memory serves me correctly, from opioid synthetics and fentanyl. And that the governor had been touting marijuana programs specifically being able to help in this area. I don't know how effective it's been, and I wouldn't know how to find out. How about you?
Right, yeah. Definitely, it's hard to find those statistics anywhere, and I don't think there's been enough research, really, as far as marijuana use goes and how it's combating that. But I do know, even with our, the additional opioid program that we brought on in beginning of 2019, you still have a lot of people out there on opioids and things like that are using marijuana to kind of get off of those opioids. It's a more natural way to medicate. And we've seen a lot of success here on the medical side and recreational side with that. We hear stories every day, even from recreational customers, that, they've gotten completely off of their opioids, or they're down to, the minimal amount that they need. And, so I think it is effective. I just don't think the research and the numbers are out there to be able to get that scientific data that we all like to have. Makes us feel a little more comfortable, I think. But I can tell you from being on the front lines of it that it's helping a lot of people. A lot of people with anxiety, a lot of people with depression, a lot of people with pain. And, a lot of those people are on the recreational side.
When I put myself in your shoes, first off, very nice high heels. But when I put myself in your shoes, I come away with this. They embrace the money that I generate in my store. They go out and they issue press releases about my staff and what we've been able to do in the growers, and that we've had $239 million spent on marijuana in the first 6 months. We generated $52 million in tax revenue, but they can't seem to let me work with a bank when it comes to cash, and this is a problem for me. When I put myself in your shoes, I think, okay, I may have a shortage of this or flower that or whatever the case, but whenever I think about your position, I think, man, if these guys would allow us use of the banking system, that would be a very good and safer option for us business-wise. How far off am I?
You're not far off at all. That's one of the areas of the business that, I keep a close eye on. And in Washington, obviously, there's been a lot of discussion as far as putting some initiatives in place to be able to protect the banking within cannabis, because so many states have cannabis programs now. And you know, that's definitely one of those things that I hope we keep working towards a solution for that, because, you know, we've obviously, you know, we just have to do a lot of extra legwork to make sure, from a security perspective, that we're taken care of on that. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot. And, you know, it is, you know, that's probably one of the parts of my job that I don't love as much, you know, is having to deal in all that cash and trying to find other ways, from a safety perspective. But, you know, we keep a close eye on that, and hopefully down the road that will change, and they'll see really the value in that, in being able to use the banking system.
You know, I think I saw a couple of the stores, maybe more than one in Chicago, who'd been hiring former police officers and police chiefs to come up with protection protocols for their stores, that they were calling in law enforcement experts, you know, to give us as consultants, you know, to be able to help.
Right.
What's the average purchase when somebody walks in your store? What's the average that they spend? Is it different on recreational medicinal?
It's a little bit higher on medicinal. Obviously, the amount that, I mean, the medicinal allotment and that they're allowed in the 14-day period is different than the daily limit that recreational purchasers can get. So I would say it's $20 to $40 higher on the medical side per spend. So, you know, it's around, I'd say around $160.
About $160, the average person that walks in the door?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I was talking yesterday to Brad Cole, and I talked to some other people, and they said this $52 million figure represented higher than expected amounts. I had seen in the original tables reaching 100, 110 million by this date, so-and-so, so-and-so. But from the original figures, we're ahead of the curve in Illinois in tax revenues? Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, you know, just from a perspective of our store, you know, I think we're pretty much on target for kind of what we, you know, back September, you know, when I was in front of the Williamson County Board, and they wanted to really know numbers of what we thought we were going to be able to generate. And I'm excited that we've been able to hit that mark pretty close to what we projected. So I think it's been successful on that front.
You know, there's a competition in Illinois. Did you see the press release, High Times, the Cannabis Cup People's Choice Edition?
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah.
I talked to the representatives. I'm thinking about giving them a little call to see if they're interested in doing an interview, because whenever I saw this, I'm like, this is one of the signs of acceptance, but then it's High Times Magazine is what they're all about, so I shouldn't be surprised from that aspect. And I have seen some. You know what's interesting is the people that I've seen the stigmata of this issue, that they had some type of pre-existing medical condition, and they were presented with an option, usually something like a CDB oil. And as I think I told you in a previous interview, I had one very interesting conversation with a woman who was using Rick Simpson oil, RSO.
Right.
And had talked about, you know, I had been taking pain pills, I can't sleep, and suddenly I have this thing. I put basically like a dot on a cracker from a syringe. It's almost no dose, and I'm not drugged out of my brains, while at the same time I'm able to enjoy holding the grandkids. It's hard to kind of argue with her when she has a medical background, right? And she's not for drugs. Right. I mean, she's not a drug user, and she's adamant about that. I've known her for many years, 30 years. And suddenly she's in a health situation. She says, this is the first time I've had a legitimate option, I feel like. So I know there was a little relief on the stigma of this. Have you seen that change? Because from my opinion, the great majority, if they didn't believe in it before, they don't believe in it now.
You know, I think what I've seen since we began the medical program back in 2015, you know, a couple years into the program, you know, we started to see a lot of older people coming in, because I think the program was on its feet. I think it was, the stigma was starting to turn the other way just a little bit. And, you know, we started having that older generation came in They weren't the generation, generation that used to smoke in the 60s and 70s. This is a generation that really never were cannabis users. And, you know, they knew there was another option out there. And I think that was a misconception when we started that, you know, you could only smoke it. And with so many other options like the Rick Simpson oil, I think we definitely started to see an older demographic come in and start to experiment with cannabis and see how that could help them. Because, you know, a lot of these people had been through a myriad of different drugs throughout the years, and they weren't really getting the relief that they needed to be able to function. Like you said, he'll hold the grandkids and go to their grandkids, you know, baseball games and things that they still wanted to do. And we have. I feel like we've seen a lot of older people over the years. I think just people get more comfortable with it. I think people, it's really about education. And, you know, I see people all the time when I'm out about the community say, oh, yeah, well, my grandma, you know, we're going to get her on the program because, you know, we finally kind of talked her into trying it. And, you know, I think it just takes that education piece. And the further we get along with this, I think people are going to become more comfortable.
You know, it's interesting, though. Now I had a conversation with a doctor, and he says, maybe one of my patients is a productive marijuana user, but as a rule, I don't see people that use marijuana being productive people who come into my office. This is a physician. He says, I see one person that I think might fall in that category. And once again, I realize that there are many people in the medical field itself who have not accepted marijuana as a medical treatment.
For sure. You know, I think it's going to take time. I think it's going to take, more states exploring those medical programs and things like that. And more research. I mean, I think it comes down to research. You know, there's not a lot of research done on the medical with doctors and the medical professionals out there. And I think it comes down to education on it. And I think it comes down to research. And I think as more of that is done and there's more studies out there, I think maybe we'll be able to take it more seriously as the medicinal value that it has.
Lori Ellis joining us this morning, general manager. She's with Consume and Marion and Carbondale. It's interesting because when that medical research you just alluded to, some had been done in relation to COVID-19 that some marijuana may assist in reducing lung inflammation. We know that the work continues, and on a more topical note too. So, Lori, I appreciate you taking the time and being so frank with me this morning. What's the question I should have asked you that I didn't? Because I try to put myself in your shoes, and I think about money and customers and, you know, retail. But, you know, you've got a lot of stuff on your plate. What was the question I should have asked you and didn't?
I think the biggest thing that I want to make sure people know out there, because there's been a little confusion over there about our new store in Carbondale. That's a recreational only store. So I think to your point earlier, talking about a friend of yours going over there and kind of getting in and out a little quicker, you know, obviously there's not a medical program over there, so it's just adult use only. So and there's some confusion there sometimes between those two stores. So that store's doing really well. We're really happy with how that's going. I think when the students get back in the fall, I think, we'll kind of have a second wave of reopening there. And, we're just excited to be able to bring some tax revenue into Williamson County and also into the city of Carbondale, especially after, you know, COVID hit. And I think it's some much needed tax revenue.
You know, we were talking about stigma. When I saw the social media photographs of all the people who were there for your ribbon cutting, there was a pretty elite group. I think when you look at that, it represented acceptance on a level that maybe you wouldn't have seen in other locations.
Absolutely. We had such a great reception from the city of Carbondale. And, I mean, they were so glad we were there. And they asked, you know, during our walkthrough with them, they asked so many questions, and they asked really great questions. And they just genuinely wanted to know more about it. And we couldn't have had better support from them in that community. And you know, that's helped, I think, with the success of it.